children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids, Kids of All Ages and All Stages. We are not just for your single young children. We are for all ages. We are a referral agency. We offer parent support groups. We will get you to clinics, for therapy, inpatient, outpatient, for addiction, for all mental health issues. Call Mask at our confidential number, 718-758-0400. Maybe you want to jot our number down for yourself or a loved one, maybe a neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Let me say our number once again, 718-758-0400, and you can call anonymous for referrals. Again, all mental health issues, including addictions. Maybe you need a yeshiva, a school for your child. Feel free to call the Mask helpline. So this evening, I'm very happy to have with us a dear colleague, a friend, and that is Mr. Usher Gottesman from Transcend Sober Living. It's actually Transcend Recovery Community, which is Sober Living. I want to welcome you on tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ruchama.
It's always nice to talk to you, Usher, and I'm really happy to be able to share the information about recovery with my listeners. Usher, you know, we speak a lot about addictions on our radio show all through the years, and more it's becoming a real big issue, especially with the opiate epidemic and the confusion to young adults and people in general about the marijuana being, you know, approved in some states, not in others, and the confusing message that children, young adults hear about, you know, marijuana, CBP, whatever conversations they're picking up on. And they're using it as an excuse that there's nothing wrong with it. But we know that it is a gateway drug. And I thought maybe we need to start out speaking about what happens when kids and young adults, people, you know, start with marijuana thinking that, you know, I just need to chill a little, take off the edge. Can you just discuss with me that issue of confusion now, being that it's legal in so many states?
Ruchama, that is an excellent question. And before I respond to that question, I first want to thank Mask for all that they do for the community and for all they've done for cases that I've specifically worked with you, Ruchama, on, and that we've been able together to work, and they work humbly, and they are collaborative, and it's really amazing, and I'm incredibly grateful to have an organization such as Mask. The question of marijuana...
Thank you, Yash Koach. I just want to respond to that. Thank you, Yash Koach, and I will say that my staff always says that Transcend is always available to people in the community from all communities. So if anybody wants to speak to Usher, then just contact Mask and we will make sure to connect you. Thank you.
Excellent. So the question of marijuana, and to start with legality first, something being legal does not mean it's healthy for you. So alcohol has been legal now for 50 or 60 years, and it's still probably one of the most dangerous substances. That being said, marijuana, the studies on marijuana has been done on marijuana that was the marijuana of 20 years ago. And the marijuana of 20 years ago had what's called THC, which is the addictive, the euphoric part, the part that gives the feelings. That was at about 8%. So that'd be like drinking a glass of wine or having a beer. Today, the concentration of THC in the marijuana is about 80%. So it's a very, very strong and potent and powerful drug. So that's number one. It's the diff beer and probably a bottle of vodka. So people need to understand that, number one. Number two is, especially in young adults, where the brains are developing until they're 25 years old, and marijuana severely affects brain growth. Lastly, something that's not spoken about and that I've been and we've been dealing with for a while is marijuana does lead to psychosis, and nobody is speaking about how dangerous that is, and it shows up in the symptoms of schizophrenia. And very often, if it's not treated, it can become a personal. So I believe, I can't speak about it scientifically because I'm not a scientist, but I believe, based on experience, that marijuana, if somebody has what I'd call a mental health gene, that marijuana itself can, I guess, trip that gene and send somebody into severe mental health issues. Now, also marijuana with regard to people who are suffering from addiction. So very often people say to me or ask me, well, isn't it better that I smoke marijuana than use hard drugs, the opiates that you spoke about, Ruchama? So the opiate addiction. And the answer is yes. I'm not going to say marijuana is as bad as an opiate. It is definitely not as bad as an opiate. That being said, when somebody's in recovery, as we call ourselves a recovery community, it's about finding community around you that supports you. So if you get into an abstinence-based community, like Alcoholics Anonymous, and you're smoking marijuana, you're separating yourself from the club. You're separating yourself from the group. And when you separate yourself from the group, it's very, very difficult to be a part of the group. And when you can't be a part of the group or you have secrets from the group, it is extremely hard to recover. Because we look at recovery as drugs and alcohol being the problem, the solution, not the problem. And it's the underlying behaviors, it's the trauma, it's the difficulties in life, it's the feeling different than, separated from, as we call it, poresh min hatzibur, separating from the community, that really is the driving force behind the addiction. So once the addictive substance is out of your system, it's really important to not have secrets, to not be a part of. So I think ultimately, yes, marijuana may not be as dangerous as other drugs, yet it definitely leads to it. It definitely lessens inhibition, so it leads to poor behavior and poor judgment. And it is extremely, extremely dangerous in developing brains.
Absolutely. So, Usher, Transcend Recovery Community is a sober living program where you offer hope to people that are actually looking to help themselves. And I'd like you to first share about Transcend. You're open since 2008. You're doing this 11 years, not 9 to 5. You do it more like 48 hours a day. Everyone, everywhere knows that Usher is always available to reach out, not only for people that go to his sober living, but he really helps people in many different areas, inpatient, outpatient, mentoring. So yash koach for that. So let's talk about Transcend, please, and what you have to offer there.
Excellent. So Transcend really came out of me seeing how incredible the Jewish community was. And the Jewish community as a whole offers a way of life, a derech. And for people that are suffering from addiction and mental health issues, I wanted to offer a non-judgmental, supportive community where they can rebuild their own lives and live their best life, supported with three pillars. So the pillars are spirituality, community, and accountability. And what is spirituality? Spirituality to me is, if you look at the three pillars in Pirkei Avos, it says, Al Torah, An Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. So Avoda is spirituality to us, and that's Chesed. It's finding a method of service, because it is scientifically actually proven that when I am of service, when I am helping other people, I feel good about myself, and it actually triggers the same endorphins in the brain that drugs do. So it helps people rebuild themselves. And, you know, it's also part of prayer, so we don't force people to pray Jewishly. However, we recommend that they find, you know, that they have a, that they find a God of their own understanding. I choose to call him Hashem, and very often when we do not provide a judging environment, people come back to their roots. So while Transcend is not a religious community, it is extremely supportive of religious activities and kosher food. And however, I always tell the parents that the children have to ask for it, because we do not want them to feel forced. We want them to grow into it. Separately, we do offer intensive outpatient, both in Los Angeles and in Houston, Texas. In Houston, Texas, we actually have a specialty in process addictions, which are sex addiction, and I know that's a big topic today. And whether it's an addiction or not, we don't have to debate today, yet it definitely is something that affects people's lives in a terrible way, and it is based typically in trauma. And with the abuse that has gone on, we and MASC has been so involved in helping people that have suffered abuse in many different ways. We have created programming to support people as they transition to a life worth living, as trauma inflicted on somebody becomes inflicted on the next generation unless it's dealt with, and we've seen that over and over. So Transcend offers gender-specific recovery community, and the reason I say recovery community versus sober living, because it's so much more. We have staff that's awake overnight. We have people that are constantly there to support you. We have our mentoring program, which is case management, and we have locations in New York on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. We have Los Angeles, several locations, and then in Houston, Texas, we have locations. So, and as Ruchama said, we're always open to any conversation, and reach out to MASC and they'll reach out to us, that it is not specific to working with us. However, we can be supportive. We help families, whether the children or their loved ones are ready for help and or in the pre-days of help, or what we call pre-contemplation, or even prior to pre-contemplation. So we want people to know that there is help available. They are not alone. MASC is there. We are there together with MASC to truly work as a team, because we say that this is takes a village, or even greater, an act of Congress to help people transition back to a life that they feel good about.
You know, I really want to bring up the issue of the parents. When parents struggle with their loved ones, or even a spouse that's struggling with addiction, many times the parent may want one thing, like you mentioned about kosher food, you know, that the client needs to ask for it. Many times parents call, and that's one of the first questions before we place them in rehab, is there kosher food? And parents, we're inviting parents to come first to a MASC group. We have groups for the parents to learn about the illness, to learn about the 12 steps, to familiarize yourself with how to be supportive to the addict, for them to be able to look at themselves and place a stronger foundation by going inpatient and getting into sober living when they're ready. But parents first need to learn about the illness before they're really able to help their loved one or their spouse, whomever. Because, like I said, they get stuck on, is there kosher food, as an example. We all want our children, our loved ones, to only eat kosher. But there is a but. Not always are these addicts eating kosher and are ready to eat kosher. And if you deal with whatever their trauma, their issue, whatever it may be that may have happened to them, slowly, slowly they were brought up in your home, you know, hopefully with the right guidance and the right therapy and the right sober living and the right inpatient, the right therapist, you know, you can repair the damage when they're feeling good. So to the parents, I suggest learn first what your child or your spouse's illness is before you start looking for the kosher food, as an example. So, Usher, I want to also talk about the 12 steps in general, because they're difficult to connect with if you're not really, you know, an addict. You know, let go and let God. You know, there's certain steps that parents struggle with. And I know that lots and lots of my clients, and we are now a 22nd year, over 50,000 families have used MAST over the years. And I know that parents sometimes struggle when their loved one is inpatient, either in a rehab or in a sober living or in therapy, and they say, oh, we're stuck on the fourth step. Can you talk about how some steps you can move quicker than others and how it may take a long time sometimes to get through the 12 steps?
Absolutely. So firstly, I want to reiterate what you said earlier. Parental groups are so important. Consistency in parents, making sure parents are on the same page. I always say if you disagree, find a way to agree. Help, have somebody help you mediate. You cannot show two different faces to your loved one. Can't do it. It's the most harmful thing in the world. And if you threaten something, you must follow through. So that's number one. Regarding the 12 steps, so there is actually a safer a book called Pathway to the Just Mesilas Yesharim that actually Rabbi Twersky has an incredible interpretation of for people with addiction issues. However, it's important that to read the introduction, and in the introduction, the rabbi, the Ramchal is his name, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, says that what I'm going to share with you is nothing new. And however, it takes repetition to remind yourself to do it. And the 12 steps really are very similar to the Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam. And it takes time, and it takes slowly. And I have many people come to me and say, I have a hard time with the fourth step. I have a hard time with the ninth step. I said, don't worry about that. How about start with the first step? Was your life unmanageable? Were you having fun using the drugs? And everybody says, yes, my life was unmanageable in the way I was leading it. So we start with that. Can you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, or if you turn your life over, can you accept that a power greater than yourself, that you're not in charge? No, you can usually do that. Are you willing to at least try for now to turn it over to that person? As they say, let Hashem control your day. It's not so bad. So then you do it. And then, yes, fourth step is really hard. However, you know, the Rambam calls it a cheshbon nefesh. We have to look at our part in whatever happened in our lives. And we do it as best as we can. It's very often addicts in general and people in general need to do everything today, immediately, fast, quick, and they're not ready to do it. And I do want to mention in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it states go talk to your rabbi about it. They also state, talk to your priest, whatever religion. It's not a religious organization specifically, so it's available to people. So if you do have an issue, talk about it, as opposed to using it as a reason to find a way out. Look for a way in. Look for how it is similar to your roots, to your foundation. And then lastly, I also want to address the kosher food, because it is so important to know that if our children are not alive, they can't come back to Yiddishkeit. Can't put on tefillin if you're dead. And it's so important to understand that this is a deadly disease. This is pikuach nefesh. So when our children are not ready to take on Torah mitzvos, it's okay. Be patient. Continue to show up. You know, Rabbi Nachman Bulman, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Or Sameach, said instead of throwing rocks on Shabbos, invite people over and show them a beautiful Shabbos. So invite your children back for Shabbos when they're ready and show them a beautiful Shabbos. Don't force them. Show it to them, and by example, they'll come back to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Usher, whenever I, you know, do the radio show, I feel like the time goes so quick and I don't have enough time to get everything in. I would like to bring up something controversial a little bit, and that is their value in medically assisted treatment when it comes to addicts.
So, thank you. That's an excellent question, and I'm going to address it quickly because we do not have a lot of time, and it is a very large conversation, and there is no one right answer. That being said, we work on a goal of abstinence. And what that means is eventually. So if somebody is willing to turn it over and not run the show, however, in order to save their lives, they need something like Suboxone. It is important. If they come in with ADD symptoms and they're willing to transfer from Adderall that they were abusing to Vyvanse, which can be abused but is less abusable, that is a move towards abstinence. So it is so important to work together with a doctor. It is so important to look at what is the motivation behind it. If you're looking at it as just as a crutch or just by itself, medically assisted treatment is not great. That being said, if you're looking at it so that you can do the work underlying, so that you can move forward and create a better life, so eventually, when appropriate, you can get off the medication, it's excellent. So it should not be something that is shamed. It is something that is necessary for many, and it is really the motivation behind it. And with that, unfortunately, I think we're almost out of time, so I want to, again, thank Ruchama. I want to thank MASK, and I want to reiterate, please reach out to MASK. Please understand you can't suffer on your own. Oh, you can. It's just it's not going to help repair the situation. So please reach out to MASK, and we will together help you help yourselves.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad we, you know, brought up the issue of the medically assisted treatment. There are many programs that do offer medically assisted treatment, and they do criticize in other programs. So we feel at MASK that one needs to first be assessed by an addiction therapist. If, like you said, they're on ADD medicine or any other mental health medication, so that they could then evaluate the right program. Not all programs offer everyone. Now, let's say, you know, one of your children's friends or your spouse's friends go to one program and did well there, that doesn't mean that your child or loved one's going to do well there, because you may have different baggage or they may have different baggage or issues, mental health, the genes in the family or whatever they may be, that is different than your neighbor that was successful in a program. So it's really important that one gets the right assessment by an addiction specialist especially prior to going inpatient, whatever that may be, even supportive living, because we want to make sure that you're being sent to the right place. Usher, you have no idea, over the 21 years that we finished in February, how many times people call up and say, Rahama, my child, my loved one is in this program, that program, it's not working, it didn't work, it's not good, it's not. And when I ask them who placed them in the program, they said, my neighbor, my friend, my next door neighbor's relative. And that's not the way to pick doctors, therapists. It's really not the way. So, Usher, is there something you'd like to leave my listeners with tonight? The most important message, please.
The most important message is do not rely upon non-experts. Find an expert. Do not rely upon yourselves. And please don't shove it under the rug. I promise if you shove problems under the rug is going to get really big and it's going to force you to deal with it. So do not do that to yourselves. And please reach out to an organization. Please make sure that you reach out to a specialist. And there is help out there. That's the good news.
So there is help. Yes. There is help out there. And to my listeners, there is hope out there. So like Usher and many organizations today that are out there to help. If you don't want to come to Mass, you can call anonymous and we'll give you numbers and names of other professionals that could help you. So I want to thank you so much, Usher, for being on tonight with us. And thank you for all you do for the Kwal and for all the time you and your staff is always available to those in need. So, Yash Koach to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. And I would like to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight, and like Usher just reminded us, always invite them back to your Shabbos table. Thank you, and have a good night.
Barzini's Fruit and Grocery not only has the largest selection of groceries, fruits, vegetables, and frozen items at the lowest prices on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, Barzini has now expanded its kosher department as well. You can now get all your favorite kosher cheeses from Israel and around the world, as well as a full line of Israeli and American groceries, including hard-to-find items, breads, condiments, and dips, all at the best prices in Manhattan. Barzini's is here to serve you. They are located at 2455 Broadway between West 90th and 91st Streets in Manhattan. Open 24 hours a day for your convenience. Come in and check out their newly expanded kosher section and stock up with savings throughout the store, including the freshest and best fruits and vegetables. Barzini's, first in quality, first in low prices. And don't forget to check out Barzini's expanded Glatt Kosher Chicken and Meat Department. And for Shavuos, they got everything you need, including your favorite dairy products, only at Barzini's at 2455 Broadway at West 91st Street in Manhattan.
Plaza Jewish Community Chapel, the only not-for-profit Jewish funeral chapel in New York City, is honored to serve the Orthodox community, where we adhere to the highest standards of halakha. For the past 18 years, we have had the privilege of serving families at Lincoln Square Synagogue, the Jewish Center, Breuers, Ohab Zedek, Park East, and KJ, to name a few. Our sacred service is not only meaningful to our families, but to those of us at Plaza as well. Established by the Jewish community of New York, Plaza has a board of directors that has numerous clergy from the Orthodox community, as well as community lay leaders. They guide us, they advise us, and we are honored to work together to provide a dignified Jewish burial for all. Find us at 212-769-4400 or at plazajewish.org. Plaza Jewish Community Chapel is truly a service, not a business.